The epistle reading is from Romans, the 12th chapter. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," said the Lord. Now, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Thanks, Therese. Just so you know, when he says you'll heap burning coals on their heads by being nice to them, what he's really saying is you're going to give them something to think about. You're going to give them something that's going to get in their mind. And if you can imagine that, it's not be nice to them so their hair catches fire. And that's kind of an important point theologically, I think. But I would love to be a person like Paul describes it. And actually, I've tried very hard in my life to be like that, and I have succeeded almost not at all. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Persevere in prayer. Paul is talking here about what it takes to be holy. What it takes to be holy. And that's what our theme is today, is holiness. The name of the sermon is Holy Shift. That was a well-timed cough. Holy Shift is our sermon this morning. Let everyone be aware of that. Holy Shift. And we're going to talk about how to be holy. And it's something that we take for granted as Christians. Oh, holy, yes, holy. But we don't ever really talk nuts and bolts about what it takes to be a holier person. And who better to show us how than Moses? And the second reading, Exodus from the 3rd chapter. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." Then God said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." God said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, If I come to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, Thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations. Now that is truly the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A holiness shift we're talking about here. A holiness shift. What it takes to go from being ordinary, plain old Joe or Joanne, or whatever your name may be, to something more, something that seeps sacredness out of your very pores, something that elevates the spirit of a room just by walking into it, someone who can bring calm and peace where there is chaos and fear. Now, a few of us have had the pleasure of meeting people like this in our life. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were all like this? If we could be an inspiration and an example for others? If we could inspire others to grow closer to God? If we could be holy? And it's suggested throughout Scripture, and in particular in Exodus and in the reading from Romans, that not only can we be this, but it's God's intention that we will be people like this. And a holiness shift requires three things. And I made sure they all began with A because that's what a good preacher does. The three things are awareness, awe, and action. Awareness, awe, and action. Now let's begin with Moses, shall we? In our reading today. Now, before we get to where Moses is today, a few things had to happen. One is, in cold blood, he had to strangle another human being to death. He had to become a murderer. He did. This guy was beating up a Hebrew slave. He didn't like it. He looked to his left. He looked to his right. Saw no one watching and killed someone. In cold blood. Malice aforethought, as they say in England. In cold blood, Moses was a murderer. Kicked out of the country, forced into exile. Lucks out, comes upon a shepherd with a whole bunch of unmarried daughters, marries one of them, and suddenly he's a murderer on the lam who also happens to be a shepherd. So not your holiest of guys, this Moses. Not by far your holiest of guys. And yet there he is walking around out in the desert, minding his own business, and there's this bush burning. Just a bush on fire. Now, out in the hot Negev sun, it probably was a pretty regular thing to have smoke here or there. You know, temperature of 120 degrees, sun's beating down. Something might just catch fire once in a while. So a bush that's on fire is not that big a deal. But Moses looks at this bush, and he sees the bush is burning, but it's not being consumed by the flame. And he says to himself, I've got to check this out. So he walks over to the bush. And notice in the scripture, God watches what Moses is doing. God watches and sees that Moses comes to the bush to check it out. And that is when God speaks to Moses. It's not that God's walking along the desert, Moses is walking along the desert and God says, Hey, you, over here. No, there's a sign. There's a sign, something unusual, something out of the ordinary. And it's like a test of Moses' awareness. And so when he sees that Moses comes over to check it out, that's when God decides, yep, this is definitely my man. So The first thing in a holiness shift is awareness. Awareness. Now, that doesn't mean you got to go check out every brush fire. But what it does mean is you've got to be looking for the holiness. You've got to be looking for the touch point with God. You've got to be looking for the thing that is out of the ordinary in your own mundane, ordinary, humdrum life and in everybody else's. As you're walking through life, look for those signs. God's putting them there and just waiting to see if you'll come over. So a holiness shift to become a holier person requires awareness. Awareness that at any time, God might be trying to communicate to you. And it's just waiting for you to become aware of it, to acknowledge it, and then listen. So Moses sees this burning bush. And he comes over and he gets closer and God says, "Take off your shoes, I just mopped that floor." No. God says, "Take off your sandals, for you are walking on sacred ground." The second thing required for holiness is awe. Now, we're pretty relaxed here, right? This is a relaxed atmosphere where anyone can come as you are to worship God. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to change that. But let us never forget a sense of awe for our God. Moses is told by God in no uncertain terms, "Take off your shoes. This is something more than just some tent in the desert. This is something more than just some abstract phenomenon. You're coming to the holiest of holies. Prepare yourself in some way." Awe. If you want a holiness shift after your awareness, you have to hold God in the highest possible esteem. You have to recognize that God is an awesome God. You have to know that God is light years ahead of your own thinking. You have to realize first that God is the great I Am, Yahweh in the Hebrew, that Yahweh is the be-all and end-all. So it's okay to be relaxed, but don't forget to be in awe of this great and magnificent God. So awareness and awe. So then Moses, who by the way was a stutterer, did you know that? Moses had a speech impediment as well. The traditions tell us. So he wasn't a real good speaker or anything. So then Moses gets his marching orders. God says, "Okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go back, Mr. Goat Herder, Mr. Wanted Man for Murder. You're going to go back into the mightiest empire in the world, and you're going to go see the Pharaoh, and you're going to tell him, 'I want to take like 25-30% of your workforce, and we're going to leave, okay?'" And Moses got to be thinking, "What, are you nuts, God? Who am I? How am I going to do this? How am I, stuttering murderer Moses, going to go and talk to Pharaoh? How will I manage that?" And God said, "I'm going to be with you. I'll give you everything you need." And so Moses says, "Okay, who am I going to say sent me? When all these Hebrew people ask me, who am I going to say sent me?" And God says, "I am." I am. The Hebrew, Yahweh. Now, with our vowels in our language, we've got to say Yahweh. But it's almost like breathing. Yahweh is the name of God given. I am Moses. All you need to know is that this is what I want done, and it will be done. All you need to know, Moses, is that I'm the one sending you. All those people need to know is that I'm real, I've heard their suffering, and I'm doing something about it. I am. Now, Moses grew up in Egypt, raised by a princess, and so he saw all the priests with the gods. And in Egypt and in most places, if you knew the name of a god, you would just repeat it, and the god was compelled to come to you. So Moses might have been trying here to get some bit of power and leverage over God, something where I can call you anytime and you're going to come to me. And God's answer to that idea is, it doesn't matter whether you call me or not, I'm there. I'm there. I am. That fits in with your awe once again. Awareness to see the signs of God. Awe that you realize you're dealing with a power far beyond anything else on earth or the universe. And action. We all know Moses went, didn't he? Now think about that. Rejected by Egypt, a wanted man, got his wife, got herds that will someday be his, got a pretty cushy life. And yet, he's going to leave that cushy life. He's going to go and risk everything, tilting at the windmill that is Egypt, the most powerful kingdom in all the land. Then he's going to wander through the desert for 40 years, and then he's going to die looking at the promised land he does not reach. But he did it. Action. A holy shift requires first an awareness that God is talking to you, that God is sending you signs, that God is laying a path for you. Then awe at the power, the strength, the love, the will of God. And then action, to trust enough to do what looks impossible, what looks so far beyond you, what you might not even want to do. That is a holiness shift, holy shifting in our lives. And there are examples of it in our world, and I'm going to share the example of good old Agnes, if you don't mind. Can I share the example of Agnes? You don't mind, do you? It's a woman who was born, and at the age of 12 years old, at the age of 12 years old, decided, I want to be a nun. At the age of 18, she goes to Dublin, and she learns to be a nun. And she's sent off to India to work in the convent. And she can't get out of her mind when she walks from the market to her sparse room in the convent, the human flotsam and jetsam on the streets. She can't get them out of her mind. She's consumed with them. Now, she's already had the awareness of God from an early age. She's already learned the awe of God as she's taken her vows. And now God is compelling her to action. So Agnes goes to her mother superior and says, I don't know why, but I need to do this. I need to be outside these walls, not inside them. I need to be out there with all the disease, with all the poverty, with all the nastiness. I need to be with them. And she does. And she starts this work, Agnes does. And she works very hard, without much in the way of support, on a shoestring budget, if there's any budget at all. Somehow, whenever they're out of food, food shows up. Somehow, whenever they're out of medicine, medicine shows up, and somehow every step of the way, now that she is a woman of action, God meets her. God meets her and brings her what she needs. And lepers don't die alone, and fewer children starve. And people start to notice Agnes. And a few more women leave the convent, and a few women from the streets come in and start to help. And before you know it, Agnes got a good thing going. And more people are coming to do the will of God. And eventually, the Pope himself recognizes her, Pope Paul. And he says, okay, we're recognizing your official work. And she eventually gets her own order of nuns to do the work with her. And she becomes world famous for wiping the brows and butts of dying, starving, impoverished people. I was in Charlotte, Teresa and I, in the 1980s. And this dinky little thing, so tiny that she had to stand on a box at the Charlotte Coliseum. 14,000 of us were at this Coliseum, just gibbering, jabbering away. And when Agnes walked in the room, silence. And when she stood to speak in her broken English, it wasn't really broken, it was just heavily accented, the holiness in the room was palpable. The fact that this woman had spent her life since at least 18, maybe since 12, walking with God and doing whatever God would say. I can't even begin to describe the feeling, but you sat there and you felt all of your troubles just sort of shrink, and you felt hope for the world, and you felt a love for God unlike anything you could imagine. It was a marvel. In 1997, when Agnes won the Nobel Peace Prize, what a wonderful sound. When Agnes won the Nobel Peace Prize, the sense of beauty and holiness, that a human being could be that full of God, that full of goodness in such a small little body. Agnes, of course, you all know as Mother Teresa. She was born Agnes in Serbia in 1910. And at age 12, it began for her with an awareness. It grew for her in the convent into awe. And in India, it became action. And it was a holiness shift. And I tell you this story not to marvel at Mother Teresa, but to recognize it all began with a little Serbian girl. There are burning bushes in your life right now. Awareness. Look for them. And don't be afraid to approach them. And when you come to a sign from God, take off your shoes, figuratively or literally. Get down on your knees and pray, or stand there and be in awe of God. In your life, with a task for you. And then, action. Action. Every single person in this room right now is a beloved child of God. Every single person in this room right now has God waiting on pins and needles for what you're going to accomplish in God's name. Now, it might happen at school or your workplace. It might happen in India. It might happen right here in the church building. It could happen in your kitchen, somewhere. Somehow, God is reaching out and wants to make a holy shift in your life. Amen.